This is just to remind us of what Paul said in his letter. And by the way, this it's a handy device. It even makes phone calls. Paul tells us, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship." The commentary I read on this, and I can't call it up on this. It comes up in a pop-up window, and I guess this thing doesn't do pop. It makes phone calls, but it apparently doesn't do pop-up windows. So I'm going to have to. But in any event, the commentary I said mentioned that they leave out one word, and the word is therefore, because what Paul has been doing here in Corinthians is, or in Romans, I should say, in Romans, is first of all he reminds the people of all that God has done for them, and then he kind of says how the law and things like that have not been proven adequate, you know, to keep people in the, you know, that's, you know, Paul. We all know Paul's vision on the law, that it's inadequate. And so after all these chapters of this, he says, "I urge you, therefore," you know, since the worship in the temple, of the offering the sacrifice of animals and things like that, since that has not been proven to be adequate, he said, "I urge you, therefore, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice." And I think in this case, when he says bodies, I think he means entire self. He's not just talking about, you know, this thing. I think he's talking about offering our entire selves as a living sacrifice. We're familiar with the sacrifices of the Old Testament, or of the Old Covenant, offered in the temple. Sometimes it was grain and oil and wine, but oftentimes it was a dead animal they offered. And there were various kinds of sacrifices, as we know. But as the writer in Hebrews will remind us, Jesus has taken care of all of that. Jesus has become, you know, there were four or five different kinds of sacrifices, and Jesus' sacrifice takes care of all of those. And we don't need to go into those now. But so we don't need to do that. So when we offer ourselves, our lives, really, it's a living sacrifice. And then he says, your spiritual worship. And the one thing I do remember from that commentary is that word worship, that's what it means kind of at the time of Paul. But it originally meant work, what you did. And gradually it became sort of spiritualized. And so by the time of Paul, that word meant things that you do for the gods. Worship meant things that you do for the gods. So what he's saying is, offer your bodies, yourselves as a living sacrifice, your spiritual work, your lives. What he's saying is, let's make, and he will go on to say this, because the part of the chapter after this is all the ways that you can live your life in a spiritual way. But he's saying, whatever you do in life, offer it as a sacrifice. And he's saying that whatever we do can be that kind of sacrifice. If we have a business where we repair cars, that can be a spiritual work. We do it in a Christian way. We do it honestly. We do it, you know, for charge a fair price and all those kind of things. If we're in school, we offer that. We offer our work towards education, and we do it in a spiritual way. And we, as Paul goes on to say, we don't let the age, we don't let the world transform us, because that's what the world wants to do. If the world might say in business, well, it's okay to take some shortcuts. It's sort of like, if it's legal, it's okay. Well, you know, there are some things that may be legal that maybe aren't ethical. We know that. We know that legally sometimes we can take shortcuts in business and things like that. We don't do that. In education, we don't take shortcuts. We don't. You know, sometimes people say whatever you can get away with is okay. You know, no, we do it in things honestly, and we especially don't let the world transform us, because that's what it wants to do. It wants us to become, and we've, as Christians, I think we've kind of, that's happened to us a lot. You know, the pressures of the world and the ways of the world have been, you know, pounding away at us for many years, and the society which used to be sort of infused, at least, even if people didn't necessarily go to church or follow the church and things like that. Most people acknowledge that Christian values were a good way to live, at least in some level. But nowadays, it's like those are the ones that are no good anymore, you know, that kind of thing. So we want ourselves not to be transformed by the world, conformed to the world as it wants to do, but we want to conform ourselves to Christ. Paul says, our example is Christ. Our example is Christ in all things, in how to live, in how to offer work, our work as a spiritual sacrifice. In all those things, Christ is our example. And Paul calls on us to live in Christ. And living in Christ means not just coming here, which is good. I think what we do when we come here especially is we support each other. We hopefully learn from the, you know, from the instruction that we receive. We of course receive Christ in the sacrament, and that's at a very, we can only do that here, obviously. But then living in Christ also means when we go home, we live with Christ. Christ, we live by those values. We ask God, what is it that, you know, how is it that, whoops. Yeah, that, do not conform, Paul goes on to say, do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God. In other words, we have Christ living in our homes. We center our homes around Christ, as however that looks in our life. Doesn't have to be that we hold church 24 hours a day, but we certainly acknowledge God's presence, and we certainly ask Him how to guide us throughout the day. I always tell people, when you start to pray, if you haven't been praying, or, you know, people will always confess they haven't prayed enough. Well, we can always pray more. But I always tell people that if you start at the beginning of the day and you say, God, guide me throughout the day, have your Spirit guide me throughout the day, and when you have a couple minutes throughout the day, just kind of meditate, ask the Holy Spirit, how are things going? And then at the end of the day, spend a minute or two with the Holy Spirit, asking them to guide you and see how the day went. That's a way of living in Christ, because then God will remind us if we're about to do something that is not, as Paul says, good and pleasing and perfect. And that's what, and as we go through life, we get better at that. But we want to remember that our lives, you know, that God and His guidance is not just for this room. Life in Christ means offering everything we do, whether it's a vocation to the priesthood, whether it's whatever we do in life, whether it's we're a vocation right now as students, whatever we do, we offer that as a sacrifice to God, and as best we can. How can we? And we ask God, how can I make this work that I am doing good, pleasing, and perfect to you, and a spiritual sacrifice. So that's a challenge that Paul has. Paul is very good at challenging us to not just believe, but to live as followers of Christ. And so we have that reminder from him. And we are reminded, too, that as we continue our worship today, we will receive Christ himself. And so we will be with Christ in a way that we can't be any other way. And so that's something to be thankful for. And we're reminded of what Christ did for us and does for us in giving us, giving of himself to us, so that we may give ourselves to him as well in our own spiritual worship and living sacrifice.